How are the saints tonight? Great. Good to hear. Let's go over to the book of Romans, chapter 1. So, which book in the Bible is the surfer's most favorite book? The surfer. Cowabunga. Deuteronomy. Oh man, come on, it was funnier than that. Sorry. Yeah. It's almost as good as Larry's. Where is Larry? Almost. Romans chapter 1. Oh, but before I guess begin, thank you, Mr. Simpson, for switching me out from last week. As I mentioned a couple times, Emma got married, so yeah, I finally figured I'd get my brain back. It was a lot of work. All right, Romans chapter 1. Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, great King and glorious God, it is such a wonderful blessing that we have that we can come before you in prayer. Lord, to know that we have, through the blood and sacrifice of your Son and through his life and his resurrection, Lord, we have entered into the eternal day of atonement. It is so encouraging, Lord, to know that we have you on our side, that there is truly nothing that can overcome the church. There's truly nothing that can overcome us. Lord, you have made us to be those people who are different from the world. You have made us those people who are a bit peculiar. You've made us those people who are willing to set aside all of the benefits of this world to seek something greater. Lord, I pray that tonight our eyes of faith will be refocused. I pray that our hearts will be enlightened, and I pray, Lord, that we will continue to seek your face and to preach to a world that is increasingly dark. Lord, we thank you so much for Christ and his example. We thank you for the word that is truly a wonderful miracle. And we thank you, Lord, that we have the truth that leads and that teaches, that encourages, that lifts up, that strengthens, and that makes us ready, prepares us for heaven. Thank you again so much for Christ, the one who is our leader, the one who is our friend, the one who has gone before and blazed a trail. Thank you for his example again. It is in his name we pray. Amen. Great song, that 749. It's actually kind of funny because that second verse... How does that second verse start out? You can look it up again. That second verse is pretty awesome. So 749. Thanks, Larry. That was perfect. I'll send you the money later. Actually, I found a dollar on the way here. We were pulled up next to Subway, and there's a dollar on the ground. I literally got out and got it. I didn't know how much it was. So, you know, I figured it was like Bill Gates trying to pick up a $100 bill. When the power of darkness comes in like a flood. Oh, and then, of course, I get one that doesn't work very well. All right. Here's just a few things. For those of you that may be listening at home or listening online later, I wrote on the board everything you get to see in the news today. Economic collapse, societal collapse, COVID-19, just in case you haven't heard about that. That's a sickness. It's a disease. It's a engineered bioweapon. I mean, it's a naturally occurring... And then war. You really want to wrap everything up that you hear in the news? Pick one of those four. And whether the war is with, you know, pew pew, or if it's societal war in terms of civil war, or if it's the war of ideas, you can pretty much sum up everything that we hear in the power of darkness that comes in like a flood. You ever feel like you keep getting knocked down? I mean, it's okay to, you don't have to, you know, raise your hand or anything. But I can tell you every once in a while, you look at stuff like this, you look at what's going on in the world, and you're like, there was one bastion, one place in the world where we could go and we could be free. One place left in the world where liberty reigns and where the rule of law is supreme. I hate to say it, but that's been long gone. I mean, I'll speak frankly. America is no longer a constitutional republic. We haven't been in a while. We're full of politicians that have completely ignored the rule of law for the sake of filling their own pockets and their own egos with power. Feel like you get knocked down every once in a while and you have faith in things of this world. Sometimes, you know, people have a lot of faith, or had a lot of faith, in the American dollar. Not so much anymore. People had a lot of faith in the economic power of the United States. And they invested a lot, their time, their money, their energy, their faith, into the power of the economic engine of the United States. We have people that have dedicated their lives to, well, furthering the agenda of their favored political party. Do you know, all those things are going to be knocked down. All those things are really pointless in the realm of eternity. And sometimes, let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And see, sometimes it can feel like, like we're getting picked on. Like, well, why? How come? Why is it that this is all we hear about? Why is it that this is the center of everybody's attention? Because of one word. And it may not be the one you're thinking of. The reason that this sells is because fear is a powerful motivator. That's why. You talk to people you work with, or maybe your neighbors. I don't care what political persuasion they're of. I bet there's not a one of them who are going, I really look forward to the next 10 years. I bet there's not a one of them who are going, man, I just can't believe how far my money's going. I bet there's not a one of them who goes, man, what a great day. Did you hear on the news about this great thing that happened today? See, fear controls. Fear sells. And for the world, people get up, they stand up, they go to work, they do the things that they think they're supposed to do, and they get knocked down. And you know what? After a while, people stop getting up. And after a while, people roll over. And after a while, people give up. You realize that that 2020 saw the highest rate of clinical depression diagnoses and suicides that we've seen in decades. And why is that? There are a lot of reasons for it, you know, a lot of detail that we could, a lot of particulars we could point out. But it's because we lost the human connection due to fear. But see, this, we are not of the world, are we? So I hope that you don't see yourself getting knocked down all the time. I hope that you see yourself as Paul would describe it. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I want to start here in verse 7. He says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you." Here's the thing, brethren. If we give into this stuff, if we bemoan all of the situation that the United States is in, if we whine and complain about economic or societal collapse, if we live in fear, we lose. You know how in Romans chapter 1, I started out with verses 16 and 17, that I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I hope you're not. I've said it before in classes and comments, and I wanted to write a whole message on it, but I can't bring myself to do it yet, but I will eventually. You know, I've said it before, but the church is being surrounded. I firmly believe that, brethren. And how does that happen? Oh, we're supposed to wait for the sheriff's office to be surrounding the building, right? And making sure and see every one of us who comes out. Or maybe it's that we can't use our Bibles anymore. Maybe the Bible's going to be outlawed. Or maybe they're tracking you on your cell phone and figuring out, oh, you know what, you guys, you use that Bible app, don't you? Oh, these guys are radicals. I honestly don't think that that's how the church is going to be silenced. I think the church is silenced because people are scared. They're scared to stand up for what is right. They're scared to speak what the Word of God says. Have you had a conversation maybe in the workplace about homosexuality lately? Make your palms sweat a little? I can tell you, and I've mentioned it before, my employer, that is not a subject you talk about unless you are talking about it in support thereof. So I don't make a big deal of it. I don't agree with it. I don't go along with it. And in conversations that I have with my coworkers, I won't go along with it. And if it gets me fired, it gets me fired. But I am not going to give in to fear and the control that Satan is ultimately trying to put on the church to silence me. I'm not going to do it. I want to be like Paul. I want to understand that even though the world may be crushed and I may be knocked down time and time again, I'm not going to shut up. I am not going to be those amongst those who shrink back in shame when Christ returns. I'll be back. I'm not going to be one of those guys who say, well, yeah, but they threatened me with my job. I'm not going to do it. Mr. Simpson said that, I don't know, it was, I think it was last week actually, he said that if this, you know, COVID-25 or whatever it's going to be, if they say again that we can't assemble, I'm going to be here. And nobody's going to stop me. If they put locks on the doors, I'll bring a bolt cutter. And I mean that. I mean it physically, and I also mean it spiritually. Nothing's going to stop me from being who I am, because I know what I'm living for. I don't live for that. I don't live for fear. I don't live for the government. I don't live for a political party. I don't live for a president. I live for Christ. And I hope that you do the same. You know, you go over to the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and you read, I honestly beg you, if you haven't done it recently, go read Hebrews chapter 11 and slow down. Look those people up if you're not familiar with who they are. Hebrews chapter 11 is the great men and women of faith. What is it that they had to put up with? John mentioned today after class. Mr. Maransik mentioned to me after class, and I hadn't really thought about it, but it's a good point. You guys like indoor plumbing? I mean, how often do you really think about indoor plumbing? When it doesn't work. Or when you go to Peaks. You know, when those guys got on the ships in Paul's missionary journeys, and say they were on a ship for a couple of days, there's a reason they call it the poop deck. Well, that's not why, but it's funny. You can laugh, it's okay. They didn't have indoor plumbing, right? I mean, they had to put up with things like that. We have it so easy. But you read that chapter, Hebrews chapter 11. See, the thing is what I hope you get out of that is faith doesn't come about by accident. It's not like something, I found some faith. Faith comes about through concerted effort. Faith like that of those are in Hebrews chapter 11 is developed through the fires of adversity. Through looking fear in the face and knowing that faith is going to overcome it. Faith like that isn't just a choice once in a while. It's a lifestyle. See, God doesn't need a bunch of pew warmers. He doesn't. He doesn't need a bunch of half-hearted, weak attempts with the cop-out response that I guess it isn't God's will. You know, America and the world, it's changing, and it has changed. There is so much going on that we simply cannot control. You know, I was talking to a gentleman that I'm working on getting a Bible study with, and he's very, very smart. He's very aware of what's going on. One could call him a prepper. You know, very aware of what's going on. And he said he had to shut it all off. He had to stop looking. Stop paying attention to all the YouTube guys and all the experts that talk about the economic collapse that's coming. And just stop. Because it was driving him mad. There's so much you cannot control. Fear, war, disease, financial collapse, societal collapse. All of this stuff, can't control it. Can't. But what we can control is how we react to these things. See, how are we going to accomplish what the Lord has asked us to accomplish? Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. How are we going to accomplish what the Lord has asked us to accomplish? And what is that, by the way? What is that the Lord has asked us to accomplish? Exactly. Preach the gospel. By whatever means. You know, in a lot of ways, this is a super exciting time to live. Because there's an awareness of the fallibility of this world. People are getting, their eyes are opening to the fact that they can't trust in what they see on television and what they read on their phones and what they hear over the airwaves. What people are looking for is solid truth. And a lot of them have despaired. A lot of people have given up on finding truth. But if you can be that beacon of truth, and it doesn't have to be the, you know, full-on headlights blaring in their eyes, it can just be that glimmer of hope. It can be the little things. But how are we going to accomplish what the Lord desires for us? You know, Christianity, it isn't about just you. It isn't, you know, Jesus doesn't say, my children will be those who, they get the Spirit and then they wait for everybody else to do the work. How are we going to accomplish this? We're not going to do it alone. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Here's the answer, how we're going to accomplish this. Verse 12. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all immersed into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we are all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. And he goes on and he talks about the foot and the ear and the eye and all the other things. Guess how we're going to get the gospel out? We're going to do it collectively. But it starts with each one of us doing our own part. Carrying our own load. And not giving into this stuff. You know, let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 5. And I'm not saying that if you have medical issues that prevent you from coming, that you're giving into fear. There's a certain amount of logic you need to use and wisdom that you need to use, in especially regarding, you know, COVID-19. Because you know what? It sucks. It's not fun. And it kills people. We know people it's killed. So I want that to be out there. So I don't want you to think that, you know, I'm making a judgment in that regard, but we can't give in to this. We can't let this kind of stuff, we can't let fear control who we are. So how are we going to overcome things like this? How are we going to make sure that the gospel gets out? 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 6. Here's the answer. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time. I'm going to read that verse again. I want you to know who it's talking about. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. Faith overcomes the fear. Faith overcomes the falsehood. If we're going to win, brethren, we have to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. We don't humble ourselves to a government that's corrupt. We don't humble ourselves under the CDC because they tell us that they know what's best for us. We still have to use wisdom in all of those things. But humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and have faith in His plan for you. And you know what? Honestly, if that means you get to die of COVID, then so be it. Because God's plan is perfect. You know, in the last 40 years, the church has been building tremendous momentum. I mean, I've been around for about 25 years, a little more than that. And in the last 25 years, man, I have seen so much growth. I mean, Mark, you've been around for a long time too. I mean, you were kind of instrumental in starting the church here in Billings. Has it changed much? I would hope so. Has it grown? Absolutely. What about around the world? I mean, 20 years ago, there weren't a lot of good new creation churches in the Philippines, correct? And the thing is, the only way that momentum is going to continue to move forward is that if we understand that we are pushing the revolution. And I don't mean with guns, of course. But the revolution that we are engaged in right now is for the souls of men. And it is fought across the dinner table. It's fought in the offices. It's fought in your front porch. The revolution is happening now. And you know, I want to ask you a question. Maybe some of you can relate to this a little bit, but you know, you have a kid that gets married, it makes you realize two things. One, you're old. And two, you've forgotten more than you remember. But you know what I want to do? If my kids decide to have children themselves, and they ask me, when they're old enough to understand, what was it like, Grandpa? What was it like to be part of the congregation that changed the world? I don't want to say, well, you know what? I sat in the same seat every Sunday and Wednesday. And boy, those guys really preached us out, you know. What are you going to say to your grandkids? What are you going to say to your kids when they ask? Do you want to be able to look them in the eye and say, I did everything I could. I preached the gospel. I talked to my neighbors. I talked to the people that I worked with. I did Bible studies with people. I saved people, snatching them from the fire. Is that what you want to say? I hope so. Not, well, you know, it's kind of tough, and I didn't really want to say too much because, you know, I don't want to upset people. Come on. You know, it's one thing to answer to your grandkids or your kids. It's a whole other thing to answer to the Lord of glory. There won't be any excuses in heaven. And the only people that are going to be there are the ones that want to be there. I want to be able to say that I was all in. That there is nothing I held back for the church. See, the focus is that God has chosen us today, now, in this culture, in this society, in this situation, with all these things going on, He has chosen us from all the other people that have ever lived and that ever will to preach the gospel today. Shame on us if we leave it for somebody else. Because the Lord has plucked us from eternity and set us where He has to accomplish what He has set us out to accomplish. And like I said, shame on us if we leave it for somebody else. I am thankful that we have a lot of young people in this congregation. I'm thankful that we have a lot of little, you know, itty-bitty little kids. I was looking at Stephanie Taylor's daughter. I can't remember. Lily. I was looking at her. She's so cute. You know, I've seen a lot of kids grow. I mean, I remember when the Berea kids were born and, you know, and Mackenzie and, yeah, I got to stop, never mind. The point is that I'm so glad that there's a lot of young people here. But I don't want to leave it for them. I want to do my part today so that their part is easier. So that their part, they can push the ball forward and keep the momentum going, not have to start over. So now what? What do we do with this? You want to know how to make this work? How to push the revolution forward? How to keep the momentum going? Is there somebody you work with that's not a Christian? I would hope all of you, yeah, I don't know, if you still go to work. There are people that you work with that aren't Christians. Right? True? Yeah? I'm picking on him because he was over at Exxon. I don't see a lot of Christians where I work. I see a lot of people who say they're Christians, but they don't know the first thing about the Scripture. So, pick one of them. I mean, there's only, you know, 95% of the population that has no idea what's going on. Pick one of them and talk to them. Build a relationship. You know, if they want to talk about sports, don't have them talk to me. But if they want to talk about sports, talk about sports. But then steer the conversation. If they want to talk about the things that scare them, the fear that they live under, let them. But turn the conversation to the spiritual solution. Are there people that you want to see as Christians? I hope so. Then do what you can to reach out to them. I don't know who said it first, but the classic response is, if not us, who? If not now, when? You know, we've got to stand. We've got to be willing to risk these things to save the soul. I remember years ago, Steve Doty preached a message. I think it was at family camp, but it stuck with me. And he said, you have friends that are not Christians. You've got to be willing to sacrifice the friendship to save their soul. You know, we have got to be willing to stand. We've got to learn. We've got to be willing to teach. You know what? Get educated on apologetics. And do you encounter people that know what the Bible is and how they can believe that it's true? No. Most people you talk to, they don't have a clue. You know, most people that even claim to be Christians have no idea why they believe that the Bible is the Word of God. And because most of them really don't. They claim that they do, but they have no reason to believe it. So, don't take this the wrong way, but if they're your contact, don't call me and ask all the questions. I'll send you to the right place to get the information. Learn for yourself. You know, Mr. Simpson's been harping on this for a long time about learn the Old Testament. He's a great resource. Mr. Simpson's amazing wealth of resource. Kendall's an amazing wealth of knowledge and great resource. Great place to go and ask questions. But there is no Mr. Simpson app. Ask Mr. Simpson. Although that we can market that. And what was the Ask Jeeves? Ask Kevin. No. The thing is, guys, is we need to get educated. We need to get educated on apologetics. We need to know your Bible. You need to know how to use the tools you have at your disposal. You can have a whole tool bag full of tools and not have a clue how to use any of them. They don't do you any good. We've got to practice perfectly. You know, the bottom line is we have the truth. We have nothing to fear. So I ask you to resolve to begin today. To know who you are and to have faith in what God says about you. I ask you to pray without ceasing, taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I ask you to open your eyes and to see as God sees. And I ask you to start today. We need to put selfishness aside and put on a heart of compassion. We got to get tough. In the last message I preached, I talked about casting off the victim mentality. We got to get tough, brethren. We got to get tough. Because guess what? The world's not going to get any softer. The push isn't going to get any less severe. Satan's not going to back off. We've got to get tough. We have to remember who we are in our mission. We need to remember that we are a kingdom of priests, that we are warriors, that we are overcomers, and that we are those who present the light of the gospel, of the resurrected glory of Jesus Christ that saves people from a world of sin and from an eternity in hell. We need to set aside what needs to be set aside. And you know what? You know better than anyone else what you need to set aside. I can't tell you what that is. You know. We need to analyze. We need to pray. We need to resolve. We need to act. We need to be Christ to this generation. We need to fulfill the purpose for which we've been created. And you know what? Faith isn't a slogan or a logo. I mean, I love all those things that we put on our cars, and they're fun. But just because you have a little ichthus fish on your car doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Faith is so much more than that. Faith is action. Resolve today to take the steps to change the world. Thank you for your time.